What must I do to be saved? There is no question about the Bible that is more important than that issue. And when we look at the Bible, it is clear that if a man is saved at all, he is saved by the grace of God. We've talked about that and we've looked at several passages on that point. It is also very clear that a man must believe in order to be saved. A man must have faith if he's going to be saved from his sins. Now that means faith in God, because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it means faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. That means believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah, that He died for our sins, and it includes believing that Jesus rose from the dead. We have to believe that in order to be saved. Romans 10, verse 9. But we've also seen in several passages of Scripture that faith alone does not and cannot save. James 2, 24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. In John chapter 8, we find that there were Jews that believed that were called the children of the devil, John 8, 30 through 44. We find that there were chief rulers among the Jews that believed on Jesus, but they would not confess Him, John 12, 42 and 43. And we read of King Agrippa, who believed the prophets and what those prophets wrote about Jesus Christ, but he was not saved. He did not become a Christian. Acts chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. So what we want to do in this particular series of lessons is to look at some important passages about the plan of salvation that we find in the New Testament. So let's begin today in Mark chapter 16, the book of Mark, chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Now this is after Jesus has risen from the dead, and He's spent several days with His disciples. He's just about to ascend back up into heaven. And the Bible says in Mark 16, verse 15, that He is gathered together with His apostles, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus then says that the gospel is to be preached to every creature. Now you see, something has changed here. Something is different now about the instructions that Jesus is giving to His disciples. Before, you see, Jesus told His disciples to only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, don't go to the Gentiles and don't even go and preach to the Samaritans. But now, He says you go and preach to everybody, both Jew and Gentile. Now you see, today we are under one law. We are all under the New Testament. In Old Testament times, the Jews were under the law of Moses, which we call the Old Testament, but the Gentiles were under the moral law, or the law of the heart that's talked about in Romans 2, 14 and 15. So today, I'm saying, first of all, that God's plan of salvation is the same for everybody. It has been the same for everybody and always will be the same for everybody, whether you're talking about Jews or Gentiles in the Bible or today. God's plan of salvation is one. God has one way of saving mankind. He has one plan of salvation, and that is the gospel. Paul said, the gospel is God's power to save to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1, verse 16. Now you see, here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the gospel is to be sounded out and sounded forth. Now in verse 16, He says that when that gospel is preached, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, folks, if you had never heard those words before in your life, if you had never heard anybody say anything about what you have to do to be saved, would you have any question in your mind whatsoever about what Jesus means here? I don't believe that anybody would. I believe that people today have to have help to misunderstand what this passage is talking about. If people did not have their minds filled with denominational doctrines and prejudiced against this passage, they wouldn't have any trouble at all understanding this. You can take a child, a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, and you can read to him this passage, and then you can ask him the question, now what did Jesus say you have to do to be saved? And that little child will tell you, well, he says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's that easy to understand. It's that simple to understand. And that's the way that God intended it. It takes people, it takes men who want something other than the Bible to cause confusion about this passage. Because if you just read it for what it says, then it's very, very clear. So if we just ask the question, what did Jesus say you have to do to be saved? Well, we answer in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If we ask the question, who will be saved from sin according to Jesus? And then we look right back at this passage in Mark 16, verse 16, we see it again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we're looking at a passage of Scripture here that answers the question point blank. Now somebody asked the question about this, well, what about the last part? Because it says, but he that believes not shall be damned. That's exactly right. A man that does not believe the gospel is going to be damned. Because that's the first step that a man takes after he hears the gospel. Jesus said to the apostles, you preach the gospel to every creature. Now people are going to hear that gospel and they're going to respond to it differently. There are some people that are not going to believe that gospel. Well, a man that doesn't believe the gospel is not going to be baptized anyway. He's not going to be baptized because he doesn't even believe it. So Jesus doesn't say anything about baptism in the last part of Mark 16, 16, because there's no need to. A man that doesn't believe is not even going to be baptized to start with. Now, to illustrate how simple this is and how powerful it is, I want to relate to you something that I witnessed at a religious debate years ago. The debate was about the plan of salvation, and I'll never forget what I saw that night. A gospel preacher was showing some charts on a screen, and on one of those charts, he had on the left side of the screen a heading that said Jesus, and below it were the words of Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. On the right-hand side of that chart that was shown on the screen was the heading man. And below that were these words, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. So this gospel preacher said, this is what Jesus says, and this is what man says. Well, the other preacher got up to respond to that, and he had signed a proposition which said that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. So he said, I want to see all the charts that he's brought forth in the previous discussion. So then this chart was shown on that screen. And this preacher, who was trying to deny that baptism is essential to salvation, looked at that screen, he looked at that chart, and he started to read. He said, okay, on this side he has Jesus, and Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And on this side of the chart he has man saying, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. And he paused. And the seconds grew longer. There was silence. He couldn't really think of anything to say. You know, most of the time people have some kind of memorized response. They have some kind of pat answer to give. But he'd forgotten whatever he'd thought of, or it could have been the case that he was staring at the facts. He was looking at the truth set side by side with his error, and he couldn't get around it. So he tried it again. He said, okay, on this side of the chart, on the left side of this screen, we see Jesus' words are, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And on this side, he has man saying, he that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved. And he paused again. And he had no response. All he could do was just read what was there. And apparently, the force of the argument, the contrast was so plain and so strong that he had absolutely nothing to say. And all he did say after that was, all right, let's go to his next chart. Now, folks, that is how powerful the Bible really is. I have seen that same thing take place in personal Bible studies with people. I have seen people say, you don't have to be baptized. And then I have seen them read with their own eyes passages like Mark 16, verse 16. And then I've asked them, or somebody else in the discussion would ask them, now, what does that say? Tell me what that says. Read that passage out loud. And if they were dishonest, they wouldn't read it. They would refuse to say anything about it. They would try to change the subject. If they were honest, they would just read it, and they would say, well, that's what it says. And folks, if we're going to be honest with the Bible, then we're going to have to accept what it says. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible definitely says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's nothing that any man can do to get rid of that. There's nothing that any man can say to refute that. No man should ever try that, although many men have tried to say it. Now, you might say, well, I've got an addition. I have a translation of the Bible that says that there's a question about whether that even belongs in the Bible. Some Bibles put out today have a marginal reference that says that verses 9 all the way through verse 20 of this chapter are not in some of the oldest manuscripts. That's the claim now. And so these verses may not have been in the original of Mark chapter 16. Well, folks, it just so happens that there was a man by the name of Irenaeus who lived from 120 to 202 AD, who quoted from Mark chapter 16, verse 19, and that was long before those oldest and so-called best manuscripts that are being talked about in these editions of Bibles put out today. Now, how could he quote this passage unless that passage was actually in the book of Mark? He says that Mark wrote it, and he quotes those words from Mark 16, verse 19. If it was not a part of the original book of Mark, then that man could not have quoted it in the latter part of the second century. So you find all kinds of ways to get around Mark chapter 16, verse 16, but folks, there's absolutely no way to do it. Remember, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What must I do to be saved? We need to consider and we need to remember Mark chapter 16, verse 16, when we raise that question.